I like that song. And I'm always reminded of the inspiration that David was faithful to the Lord in every calling that he had in his life. And it started where nobody could see him, watching the sheep, tending his responsibilities, what God had put in his care. And he trusted the Lord through that whole process. And I don't think that David ever had the idea that I'm going to do this and then someday I'm going to lead the armies of God. He just was faithful to his calling. And when he stood before Goliath, I really think that it wasn't about his training as in his marksmanship. That it was all about he had become such a great marksman that now he could stand up there and take out Goliath. But rather, he had learned to depend on the Lord. Yes. And that was the secret to his success against Goliath. Yes. And when he looked at all these trained military men who quaked in the shadow of Goliath, he kept his eyes on God, and he knew that God was bigger than this giant. Yes. I enjoyed listening to the message this morning. I wasn't here, but I was able to sign on Zoom. And my thoughts had already been running along these lines, so I'm just going to piggyback on the back of Sister Clay's message this afternoon and talk about our dependency on God. And just leave this burden with you. I head home tonight, and I've sure enjoyed being here. It's been a blessing. Enjoyed the meeting. Feel like some of you that live in smaller congregations, you know what it's like. You have to exercise yourself often, and it's very nice to come and to just sit and listen and be filled up and find myself crying a lot and just enjoying the blessing of the songs and the fellowship. And now I'm tired and want to go home. So I thank the Lord for being here. I'd like to read in starting Beatitudes in Matthew in the 5th chapter. And, you know, the beginning of this is really the beginning of salvation that Jesus was beginning to teach. But this same vein runs through our entire experience with the Lord. When he starts here in the 2nd verse, 5th chapter of Matthew, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I meditated on that some, and we always, as we know, we have to start with that first word of being blessed. That it's more than just a gift, it's more than just a good feeling or maybe something will work out right, but this is a blessing that comes from God. This is a divine orientation to our life that is extended by the God of heaven. It's not just, you can say someone, well, they've been blessed or that, you know, that's a blessing, but this has a divine promise and pronouncement that comes from God himself. And when he talks about being poor in spirit, I thought about what it doesn't look like. In this spirit, if you look up the original meaning of this word, it really has a connotation of breath or aura. And humanity at large has a tendency to believe in themselves and their resources and their capability. And people have a real hard time coming to salvation because they don't get to the point where they're willing to recognize that they are completely and absolutely desolate before God. And even sometimes we can be in a place where we feel like we have to get ourselves in a place where God will accept us even. That we have to bring something of value or that we have to come to some condition where God can do something with that. And that doesn't change just when we get saved. There's many times that we feel like that if the Lord is giving us a calling, that somehow it's up to our own ability to accomplish that calling. That I need to be more learned, or I need to know more, or I need to have this, or I need to have that. When in reality, it's always been about our dependency on God. Same with David. When he was called to fight Goliath, it was that same vein of it was God that was in control that took him from the small battles to the big battles to the all the way to his kingship. It was dependent that he depended on God. And if you follow David's life when he got in trouble is when he began to think that he knew best in his own power and his own kingship and his own might and his own accomplishments. And it tripped him up time and time again. And he'd have to come back and recognize his dependency really was on the Lord. Being poor in spirit, being in a condition where, I thought about where Jesus also talked about the children. And he said, unless you become as one of these, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom. And it's always a juxtaposition, I guess you'd say, or a, I don't know if oxymoron is the right word in my mind, but as we endeavor to live for the Lord and we have success and we give ourselves to the Lord, we can take on a form of might. I mean, there is a power that's in our life that comes from God. And we face the enemy with confidence and with that power even. That song talked about the power being robed with the power of God, and we have the armor of God, and we have this ability to know that the devil and the enemy is in our hand. But it never changes that submission side to God. It's like we have power on this side, but this part of me that is towards God is always tender, broken in a sense, yielding, submitted, and recognizing that that flow of power comes from that source. And anytime we get to the point where we are contending with our battles in a place where we are standing in our own might and in our own strength, then our dependency is ourselves. And we find out that we're going to run out. We're going to run out of energy. We're going to run out of wisdom. We're going to run out of commitment, like we heard about last night. We're going to run out of everything that the Lord has built up and stored until we submit ourselves back and the Lord fills that again. So it started in this way, and it's the same throughout our experience in every battle that we face. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All that God has, that's richness. That is the very essence of wealth. And we've mentioned this before, but we have so much wealth at our disposal, and yet this is the true riches of God. And it comes through a broken life that has been submitted to the Lord. And we want to stay in that place. I want to read here in Psalms in the 34th chapter. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It is really hard for us to be dependent on ourselves if our praise is about any... It goes hand in hand. Our attention and our focus on the glory and on the majesty of God keeps our mindset in the right place. Blessing the Lord at all times and His praise continually in our mouth means that even when things don't go our way, even when challenges come and we find that there is adversity, even in the calling of the Lord and the places where He calls us to, and we find that everything doesn't just work out exactly like we thought it should, having that spirit of praise to the Lord is one that keeps the perspective in place. God is still in control. Amen. Praise the Lord anyhow. Thank the Lord He allowed it to turn out like this. I can't see all the ins and outs, but Lord, You understand. And that mindset and spirit of our heart keeps us in a brokenness in our own self, that we're submitted to the Lord. I don't have my own will. I don't have my own. I'm not pressing for my own mark. But I want, Lord, You to have Your perfect work. And in that comes this, Lord, I'll praise You continually. And it's natural for us to have our own desires, and we want things to turn out in a certain way, but we cannot understand why things are like they are all the time, and why God allows men to make choices sometimes that affect us negatively or evilly, some children go through things and you can't understand, but they learn that by praising God continually, even the hard things that they've been through in life become their greatest blessings. Lord ministers through those things, brings peace, brings tenderness, takes bitterness out of the heart. And if we focus on where things have gone wrong, we lose this praise to the Lord. We lose this place where we begin to focus on what is negative or what isn't exactly like I think it ought to be. Goes on here to say, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. When you've been humbled by life or things have gone and you hear another testimony, do you know it just resonates? Because you've been there. And when the Lord is lifted up in any battle, in any conflict, there is a community of praise that rises into that. Because we also understand where the source is and where that has come from. And that there the fellowship that we have, even in the songs we sing that are beautiful and they sing about the goodness of God, the reason all of our hearts knit into that is because the praise is pointing in the correct direction. And I remember years ago, there were some folks that were changing some of the words of the song. And in the song that was in the light of God, they changed it into the light of the church. And it really struck a wrong chord because it changed the focus of where the power and where the light came from. It began to be us and to lift up. So this message through the humility and through the humble, it resonates, and our hearts respond to that. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Your heart burns when you read that, doesn't it? And it burns because it's the experience that we have also. That in our deepest depths of need, our cry before the Lord has been heard. And it wasn't because... It makes me think of that song that says, "I thank the Lord for saving me from the fix that I was in." Always gets me. It's a get me song. My heart and my emotions always respond to that because of the sheer dependency on God. Coming to wit's end, coming to the place where I don't have any other recourse. I don't have anywhere else to turn. And then we cry to God and he saves us. Our heart begins to burn at that. Because of our own experience of what God has done for us. Kind of funny how we can look at the Israelites and they seem to lose their way so many times. And God would deliver them and perform some miraculous, powerful demonstration. And then we can't understand why just a few chapters later they're murmuring and complaining and shaking their head and saying, "Well, it's better if we were back in Egypt. At least we had leaks, at least we had this." But our human tendency is the same. That the Lord will help us through places, and then a little time goes by, and we can have a tendency to lose that dependency that's on God. It takes some trials sometimes to bring us back to that place where we're like, "I'm going to have to cry out. I need the Lord to deliver me out of all of my troubles, all of this condition where things are in." It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You know, it's easy for us to give that same testimony and that same encouragement. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because we've tasted it. Tasted that pure river, that relief, that mercy, that grace. And we know that if any soul would come to the place where they could submit themselves, they would find the same sweetness of the Lord's presence. I love that part of this passage you already read talks about not being ashamed. I love that in our testimony and in our encouragement to each other, when we're facing battles, when we're surrounded by circumstances that are hard for us to understand how to navigate. I don't know what's best. I can't always see what choices or decisions that I can make. That our counsel to each other, and it talks about forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together and to admonish and encourage each other in songs and hymns. And the reason for that is for us to point each other towards the source of those times when I really can't see and I can't understand. And when we do that, we have total confidence and faith that if we will taste and see, we will find that it has been good, that the Lord has satisfied, that he has ministered to those places. And then we're like the beginning of the chapter. Our praise lifts up God who has delivered us time and time again, becomes our theme, becomes our song. It becomes the essence of our being, really. When people ask us, "So what do you believe in, or what is your source, or what makes you tick, or what do you think about in life?" It always comes back to that it's God. That's right. Our dependency is on him. He is so faithful time and time again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed. Again, there's that blessed. Divine intervention to the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. I think about that a little bit, and you think about what that fear means. And it does have an afraid aspect to it. To recognize that God and his power, in his judgment, in his righteousness, that we have to contend with that. And if there isn't anything that brings us back to square one in terms of who we are in status, is to recognize God's position. That fear of the Lord often causes us to realize that I don't have what it takes without God to please him. How can I? And if I fear him in that way, it will cause us to respect and to honor our place before him. When Sister Clay got up and started, she said, we're just a bit of dust. And I thought about that. And in light of this message, what the Lord already dealing, I thought, that's right, just a bit of dust. And when our dependency is on the Lord, it's like those little loaves, little fishes. Lord proved it time and time again. He takes the little that he started in us and builds something on that. But it starts with that fear and reverence before the Lord that, Lord, I'm not coming to you because I'm anything, but because I believe in you. My dependency is on you. It says young lions do lack and suffer hunger. It's the mighty young men. They run out. All of their agility and all of their speed. You can take graduation classes all across the country and you'll find the brightest, the strongest, the fastest. You could pick them all out. And in no period of time at all, they reach a place where what they have started life with is expended. It's inevitable. This life, we were not made to be able to contend with it in our own natural ability and thought process and might and strength. Even the young lions do lack in all of their quickness. They still run out and are in need, have a necessity, suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And part of the inspiration to that, I think about, you know, in our humanity, sometimes we think in our battles, or if there's battles or things that need to be fought, that it should be the brightest, it should be the best. If there's some prayer that needs to be prayed, we should find the strongest. We should send the most able into that battle. But you know, it's really about those that have submitted and yielded themselves and put their dependency on God. It's why the little old man or the little old lady in the corner that has to walk with a walker can bring great power from heaven because their faith and their dependency is on God. Amen. And our natural status doesn't have really anything to do with it if we recognize our need before the Lord. It's our human tendency that says, well, we should have the brightest and the smartest and this. We should put them in all the places of control or prominence, and that's what you do if you built a natural company. But the kingdom is built on dependency on God, faith in God. He is the one that has established it, and the more we tune in and line into that, where our eyes are on him, the more that his power is able to flow through and be ministered through our lives. Come ye children and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Here's where that fear comes in. That submission before the Lord to keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. I thought about that promise. And in our own, it's like the Lord cannot forsake his own being that he has built in us, in a sense, if you can look at it that way. The righteousness that he is honoring is the very righteousness that he has worked in our life. So when our dependency upon him and our cry for him comes through. It's his child. It's a part of his being that he's responding to. It is not like it's some foreign entity that has, it's what he has put in us. And how can you disconnect that from God? We have a tendency to think about somehow we're separated. The best way I can put that when I think about it is like my own children. They're my flesh and blood. There's a closeness and a connection with them that I cannot sever. No one can sever. And when they have needs and when they are in trouble and they call, "Dad, help me," I have to respond to that. It is impossible for me to not respond or to return to that. And when I think about the righteous cry before the Lord, that's his children. That's those that have feared him, honored his commandments, submitted themselves to him. And he has to. There's no way for him to ignore that and to just, "Oh, I don't hear it," or "I won't respond." It brings great courage. It brings great faith that as we go into the battles and we go into the situations in life, the Lord must respond to that cry to be able to hear it and to return. "Now the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit." I think as Brother Marty mentioned it in his message on Friday night, about being desperate. And he talked about, I don't want to put words in his mouth if I remember it right, he talked about some of the major places in his life is when he came to a place of being broken before the Lord. And I find that to be true in my life also. We endeavor to please him and we serve him and we obey him in our calling. But a lot of battles that have the long-lasting impact, it takes me getting to a place where I am really broken before the Lord. "Lord, I'm fully dependent on you. I don't have on hand what I need." And when the Lord responds to that and he brings the answer, he moves clouds, he gives strength, he brings the giants down, the praise and the stones that we take from those places become some of our greatest praise songs down the road because the Lord was so faithful. And there's no doubt in our mind who delivered us from those places. I was thinking even in Romans in the 12th chapter. We quote this scripture often when we talk about being sanctified, giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, the formula stays the same. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Starts with our recognition that God has been faithful to us. "That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." What is a sacrifice? Is it something that has been killed and laid out? Something that has been put to death? And when as we slay our flesh and we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord, sacrificing our life to him on a daily basis, flesh tries to raise its ugly head sometimes and we have to beat our body under and we have to bring it back into subjection. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And I think about, it doesn't matter how long we've served the Lord, doesn't matter what battles we've been through, challenges that we faced, how many victories, how many different marks we've got on the shield of faith, that our dependency and our recognition of where the Lord has filled us and used us is always brought into that subjection of that measure of faith that God has given to us. And if we'll maintain that, our battles can get hot. We can go from fighting the bears and the lions to fighting Goliath to being, quote unquote, a king, being in a place of leadership or a place of where the Lord is using us. And as we maintain that humility before God, then he's able to fill that sacrifice time and time again to demonstrate his glory, his power, and we reap great benefit and great reward from that. Made me think also of Paul, 2 Corinthians. I think Brother Tony quoted this also. The 12th chapter. Some people have wondered what Paul's problem was, what he dealt with, what kind of conflict that he had. And I have my own inspiration on that, different thoughts. I know he was dealing with the churches, and there were some that were opposing him. There was a voice of Satan that opposed him at the church in Corinth. There are different ones that he was fighting against. And when we serve the Lord, there are going to be times when there is opposition. There's going to be times when there's voices and other people that might be saying other things. People that have different ideas and different opinions. If you have much outreach, you'll run into people sometimes that have false doctrines and different things that they want to put forward. Imagine Paul really would have liked things to have just gone easily. Not to have to contend with some of those difficulties. But as he said here, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation," all the knowledge, all the things that he had seen. And I'd ask you that this afternoon, where do our revelations really come from? When do you really get revelation in your life and in your heart? It most often comes through those places where we have gotten very close to the Lord and he's revealed himself, typically through battles, through trials, through difficulties. Often in a message, the Lord will reveal something and it will click with where he's been dealing with us somewhere and where life has revealed itself. And those revelations become something not from our own intellect where we have put some boxcar verses together, so now this is what I believe, but he's revealed himself when we've became fully dependent on him. So even Paul in this place, where through the abundance of revelation, all the things and the shipwreck and the stonings and all of the challenges that he had been through, here was some opposition. There was given to him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Buffet me, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that brings us quite to a quiet place of consecration to the Lord, to glory in our difficulty and in our challenge, because we realize that it forces us to be dependent on God. I can wish the Lord would change my personality. I can wish the Lord would change maybe how I think. I can wish the Lord would change how I respond to things naturally, in a natural sense. He has grace for all those things. And sometimes we in our own thinking think, well, it sure would be easier if I was more extroverted, or if I wasn't so loud, or if I wasn't so, I don't know, all the different things we complain about ourselves. And yet, I find that it's a lot of those places where we find our real dependency is not on ourselves, but on the Lord. I was mentioning to somebody, I have 4 children, and they're all different. And they're not here, so I can pick on them a little bit. My oldest one is very quiet. Maybe he's listening online, but I doubt it. He's pretty quiet, pretty reserved. And I found myself always trying to push him to be more like me as he was growing up. I always was trying to force him to be different. And then my youngest child is very open and outgoing and in front and into everything all the time, that makes friends in less than 2 seconds anywhere she goes. And I always found myself trying to pull her back. Don't be so loud. Don't be so up front. Don't be so seen. And the Lord really checked me on that he made them like they were. They need to learn the discipline, but that he formed them as he determined. And we often think that we should be able to just change ourselves, or that when we begin to serve the Lord that we ought to just be totally different, that we're going to be just like brother or sister so-and-so, that in our mind we think, well, they've got it all together. I would just want to be like that. But the Lord is intending that our sufficiency and our strength comes from him. Amen. And you're going to have to find that some of those personality quirks and some of those things you have to deal with, you're going to have to ask the Lord for help time and time again, recognizing my necessity and my need before God. They become precious to us, I think, over life, because he proves himself. And that's where Paul said he gloried in his infirmity and in his challenge, because he found that God was faithful time and time again. One last scripture I'll read here is in Isaiah, familiar passage of scripture in the 40th chapter. In 28th verse. Sometimes I like putting things on plaques and we hang them on walls and they remind us. Sometimes it can make it so commonplace it just sounds like a platitude or something that's just, you repeat often. But there is a real strength and there's a real truth that stand in these scriptures. There is a real faithfulness of God and a promise that he has extended to us. It says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding?" You know, our own being and our own might, this verse leaves us so far behind. There is an absolute limit to what we know and what we can do. But with God, it's this endless, everlasting. And the more that our faith and our confidence is based on God being in that position, the more we realize our dependency is on him. He says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I'm thankful this afternoon that it's the Lord is the one that carries us through this life. Amen. You know, part of the inspiration of those eagles is that a lot of birds have what they call molten feathers. But the one thing about the eagle that is really unique is that as they get older, there is a molting that happens in their feathers that make them stronger and stronger the older that they get. In our bodies, we see the opposite. We get weaker and weaker. But that's why as this eagle waits, there is a waiting for that to happen, and then there is a real strength that comes from the way, and they can get higher and they can fly farther. And I believe that's where the inspiration is in that, to talk about eagles specifically. But as we wait on the Lord and we put our trust in him, he does a work in us that causes us to be able to fly farther, higher, with greater, whatever you want to call it, agility, speed, confidence, to face the challenges that we do. But it always comes back to that work that the Lord has done in us. I'd encourage you as I make my departure, and you continue on in your meeting, trust the Lord will bless it. But that above all, you maintain your dependency on God. That we don't want to look to any other source. Counsel is good, encourages us. We can encourage each other. But that counsel has to go back to where the foundation of strength and the source of power really comes from. In our messages, in our thoughts, in our testimonies, in our battles, it comes back to we're fully dependent on the power of God to be able to cause us to be successful. I want to live that in my life. You pray for me, I will be faithful to him.